This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It ain't over yet. Last night was not a funeral at Madison Square Garden. Last night was not the end of the Knicks season. Is it the beginning of an epic comeback? The Knicks beat the Indiana Pacers. They force a game six tomorrow night. We got a lot to say about last night's game. We'll get you set for game six. We'll mix in some baseball a little bit later on. But to me, Teak, it starts with two things. It starts with an intensity, an effort, and an urgency they needed to have. And it starts with Jalen Brunson. Because Jalen Brunson allowed that building to relax. The Knicks are down 3-1. If you face an early deficit, if you struggle early, if the same issues that have popped up throughout this series begins this game, Madison Square Garden gets tense, and those players get tense. And instead, Jalen Brunson, and you could see it from jump, came out with a killer instinct. You know, we always credit him for what he does in the fourth quarter of games. What he did in the first quarter of this game, making six of his first seven shots, I thought set the absolute tone for this game, and they never looked back because it was a wire-to-wire victory.
One of the things that we've talked about with this Knicks team in the postseason, first with the Boston series, coming out flat without an urgency, then in this series, coming out in the second halves flat and without an urgency, both of those things were not the case in Game 5. And it started with Jalen Brunson, obviously, but it was everyone. It was the defense on Tyrese Halliburton, and it happened at the beginning of the game, and it happened at the beginning of the third quarter. And so while Jalen Brunson has always been a great finisher, we know that now statistically, and you look at his 33 points a game in this postseason, and the fact that him and Cat are playing at the level that they are, it's historic in a way, and putting them on the level with some of the great teams in NBA history, but they always were fighting to win it at the end. By coming out with urgency in period in quarter one and in quarter three, quarter four kind of was easy for them for the first time in a long time.
No doubt.
A wire-to-wire victory, and I think it might create a new template for what the Knicks need to do for the rest of the series if they want to win it in seven, as was the chant at the end of the game.
Well, look, coming out and communicating well and being aggressive on defense and not having miscommunication and defending at a high level and playing like your season is on the line, which it was, is key. And they did it last night.
Right.
And you saw that. Now, the Indiana Pacers, and I'm sure they're saying this up in Indianapolis right now, they're probably killing their team saying, where's your intensity? You even had Pascal Siakam admitting it after the game, saying, yeah, they played harder than us. And so Pacer fans are probably dealing with the conversations we had numerous times throughout this series, which is, how could they play harder than you?
Right. But
it's a postseason game.
But it seems like they're still confident. The Pacer players and Tyrese Halliburton just gives you that look like, yeah, we're just going to win it at home type of thing. But, I mean, he was horrible. And look, we've seen this in moments over his career where he just kind of no-shows. But I can't explain it. I can't imagine why you'd want to just, hey, we're going to win at home. That'll feel better.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons to explain the marvelous job the Knicks did on Tyrese Halliburton. I think it's a combination of two things. His aggressiveness was taken away. Mm-hmm. I think clearly Mikal Bridges, and I got to give him a lot of credit,
right,
he defended him very differently than he did in the first four games of this series. It wasn't quite what Nesmith does to Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as aggressive, but you could tell that they looked at Tyrese Halliburton, Mikal Bridges did last night, and said, I'm not going to let this be easy for him.
Yeah, I'm going to frustrate you at every turn.
And I think sometimes when you frustrate Tyrese Halliburton, and we've seen this throughout his career and his postseason career, he'll shut down. He'll be less impactful. And so I think that nationally, Tyrese Halliburton's going to take like one of his first real beatings mm-hmm. from the national media. And while he may deserve some of that, I think the Knicks deserve a lot of credit. And I think Mikal Bridges deserves a lot of credit because Mikal Bridges is here to defend more than anything else. Yes, his mid-range jump shot. Yes, his big six-footers in the lane. Sure. But it's defending.
Yeah.
And he defended Tyrese Halliburton. He frustrated Tyrese Halliburton. And he basically shut him down. And the difference between Tyrese Halliburton and other pass-first point guards in the history of this league is it's not about the amount of shots, attempts that Tyrese Halliburton had last night. It's not about the amount of points. Because I got to watch Jason Kidd for many, many years. There were games where Jason Kidd did not take 25 shots.
Yes.
But Jason Kidd would still impact the game even when he loses his aggressiveness shooting the basketball. Tyrese Halliburton didn't affect this game.
No.
You know what I mean? Like the Knicks made him irrelevant.
Right. He felt non-factor-ish. And if it wasn't, you know, for Mathurin coming off the bench and scoring 23.
He was their best player.
He was their best player. Yeah. And, I mean, this game would have been a 30-point blowout if it hadn't been for him off the bench. But I think Tyrese Halliburton, he got caught in something that I think a lot of players tend to get caught in. You relax. And you don't have that fire. I mean, when you see Tyrese Halliburton at his best, and unfortunately we saw it in game four, where he's making every shot. He's even when he's contested, he's shooting with confidence, and then he's mocking the crowd. He's doing the Jalen, you know, 3-point finger sign that he likes to do. All those things, they project a I'm better than you. I don't care what the hell you're trying to do to me. He didn't have that in game five. It was more of a subdued Halliburton, and if you get that Halliburton, it's hard for the Pacers to win. If anybody needs to look themselves in the mirror for the Pacers, it's him.
Yeah.
As much as it was about the Knicks, it was also just a weird day for Tyrese Halliburton, and the Knicks, to their credit, took advantage of it.
Well, the Knicks came out in the situation they were in realizing we need to beat them on the margins, mm-hmm. we need to be more aggressive, we need to be more desperate, we have to play that way because we have to extend our season, and they did. And they did it from jump. And I think that was the most impressive part. Like, sometimes over the course of a 48-minute basketball game, you don't really have a gut feeling on the way things are going to play out.
No.
Because, like the old saying goes, just watch the last 2 minutes. And sometimes there are signs early in a game. And in the first quarter, when Jalen got off to that great start and the Knicks had the early 10-point lead, I still wasn't convinced, all right, this is the Knicks' night. Because what I needed to see them do, which they hadn't done a lot throughout this series, is close out quarters and finish their strength, you know, and finish these quarters strong and finish these good runs that they had. Cat gets in a foul trouble. He comes out. Okay, no problem. Here comes Josh Hart. Mitch is at the five. Jalen Brunson's going to run the offense. You only have one negative defender on the court instead of two. And they allowed the Pacers to sort of get back into the game. And I thought the close of the first quarter was the only moment where I said, oh, my God, they're really going to blow this. The Pacers had a 5-0 run in the last minute and a half of the first quarter, and they made it a 4-point game. And at that point, as I'm sitting there up on my bridge seats at Madison Square Garden, and Knick fans are so sweet. Everybody was so nice to me last night. I had a great time.
Did they tell you you didn't actually get a panini?
No one knew about that other than really, I guess, people on Twitter, because I tweeted out a picture of a sub sandwich. I'll get to that later. I'll tell you why I made a game time decision.
That's not a panini.
Yeah, I ended up not going with the panini. Whatever. Maybe that's why the Pacers lost. I don't know.
Good for you.
But I thought when Indy closed the first quarter and the Knicks took their eye off the ball at the end of the first quarter, that was the moment where I said, really? Mm. So the Knicks are going to let this great Jalen Brunson start, this sloppy Indiana start. They're going to let them back in the game because I thought at the end of one, the Knicks should have been up by more than four. That was my thought. It was like they should be up by 10. They should be up by 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the sequence that really convinced me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
Knicks were going to win this game. And this is a credit to Tom Thibodeau. Was when he came out in the second quarter with Delon Wright, Deuce McBride, and the man of the moment, Landry Shamet. And they ran with Josh Hart and Karl-Anthony Towns. And they got good minutes from Delon Wright. He missed a couple of open threes. No big deal. He also had a big offensive rebound after an OG block, which set up the Landry Shamet three that put them back up by 10. And then you've got Landry Shamet, and he would do this in the first half, but he would also do it in the fourth quarter of this game, early fourth quarter, when he got fourth quarter minutes. Landry Shamet, who a few weeks ago I brought up to you as a jinx, because every time he's on a roster, the team loses in seven in the second round. Landry Shamet impacted this game.
Yeah. Well, I think they might have found something with Landry Shamet defending Tyrese Haliburton.
Defending everybody.
Or defending anybody.
Yeah.
But if there becomes a point where Mikal Bridges, who, I mean, he's working hard defensively. And it's not always great, obviously. I think the fatigue starts to get the best of him, running up and down the court with Tyrese Haliburton, you know, for 40-something minutes. But I think they might have found something that could be used in these next two games. If they get that far.
The Landry Shamet weapon?
The Landry Shamet defensive weapon. Forget
yes.
score. Forget him. Forget him as a score. Landry Shamet showed to the point where he's getting crowd chants at MSG that he can be an elite defender. Now, he's not an elite defender, mostly, but he's a very good defender. When he wanted to, he shut down whoever he was on. And it was obvious, and it was exciting to watch because it felt like, man, there is an answer if guys get tired. And so I think Tibbs might have accidentally stepped into something that could be a real asset for them these next two games.
And there are criticisms for Tom Thibodeau, which we'll address a little bit later on. But here's where Tom Thibodeau almost deserves an apology. A couple of games ago, when he was asked after Josh Hart fouled out, why did you not go to Deuce McBride? His answer was, I wanted Shamet.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us said, Shamet? I mean, really?
What are you talking about?
And he said, yeah, I want a little bit of size. And most Knicks fans or IBOs looked at this and said, what the hell is he thinking? Mm-hmm. Well, Landry Shamet made a huge impact on Game 5. Now, let's not get confused. Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns are the engines, especially Jalen Brunson and the way he started this game. You need to win on the backs of stars. And Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns are now only the third twosome to score 20 points in each of the first five games of a conference finals game since Shaq and Kobe.
Wow.
So obviously, they're doing something right. But to win a best-of-seven series, sometimes it takes those little things. It takes those little contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And Landry Shamet last night, and DeLon Wright in an underrated way, when they started the second quarter with that fivesome of Wright, Deuce, Shamet, Hart, and Cat, it made a huge difference. Those guys were on the floor for the first four minutes of the second quarter. They were plus four. They expanded the Knick lead to double digits. A double-digit lead they basically would have
yep.
for the rest of the game.
Right.
And it's a testament to Thibodeau that someone who has been so allergic to going to his bench and so allergic to trusting guys off of his bench did that for the first 6.5 minutes of the second quarter.
I wonder what changed.
He had to change.
Was it desperation?
Yes.
Or was it someone imploring him to do so, whether it be player or executive?
No, I think it's a have to. I think sometimes when you're trailing in a series and you see what the Pacers are doing, you have to adjust, especially if you're going to play at the Pacers' pace.
Right.
There's a likelihood that you're going to tire down, you're going to wear down. And also separating Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, which he did a pretty good job of doing so throughout this game. There were a bulk of period of time, like every minute of the game, forget garbage time, late fourth quarter, forget that, throw that one out when Porty's put in a bucket. In every minute that mattered in this game, either Jalen or Cat would be on the floor.
Mm.
And there were lots of times in which it was only one of them.
Yeah.
Where you only have to deal with one subpar defender on the floor at the same time, and you could hide their defensive liabilities. Now, I got to give Jalen Brunson some credit. He's going to get a lot of credit for what he did to start this game. I thought his defense was passable.
Right.
And that's better. A really big compliment.
The effort was more there.
Absolutely. It was a passable defensive performance by Jalen Brunson. He wasn't the sieve that he normally was. And overall, pound for pound, how'd the Knicks win Game 5? That's how they won Game 5. They defended. They held the Indiana Pacers to a 94-point total. And the numbers are the numbers. When the Pacers score less than 110, they lose. When they score more than 110, they win.
Right.
Well, so you have to defend at a very high level.
It was also partly there, the Pacers not running as much as they previously had on makes and misses and everything. But they took 15 less shots than the Knicks.
Well, you know why? They turned the ball over.
Yes, for the first time.
For the first time. They turned the ball over 20 times in this game. Look at their totals throughout this series. 7, 10, 12, and 11.
Right.
So those 20 turnovers were huge.
So is it sloppiness or is it a better effort by the Knicks? I think it's a little bit of both. Tyrese Halliburton still didn't have a turnover, but that's neither here nor there. They out-turnovered the Knicks, who weren't clean by any stretch of the imagination. They had 15 in this game, but it was more the Pacers being off of their game and the Knicks taking advantage of it.
I think it's a combination of both. I think they defended a lot better. They did.
Yeah, of course.
I think sometimes when you get a team as offensively gifted as the Indiana Pacers to hold them to 94 points and look at their shooting in the first three quarters of the game when the game was on the line. They came out in the first quarter. They shot 37% from the field. Miles Turner turned the ball over on the very first possession, which he basically tripped.
Yeah.
They shot 38% in the second quarter. It was a little bit better in the third quarter, but it was 41%. They didn't hit their shots. Now, was it squarely Indiana missing, or did the Knicks defend better? The Knicks defended better. Mikal Bridges defended really well. I don't even care about his box score. I don't care what he did offensively. I thought he did a really good job against Tyrese Halliburton. I thought Jalen Brunson did a much better job defensively. Landry Shamet off the bench, mm-hmm. which we all saw, which caused the Landry Shamet chance at Madison Square Garden. I may have joined in.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. Kidding me? So I was looking around. I looked around and I was saying, I can't believe, and I think a lot of people said this, though my tone was a little different. I said, I can't believe I'm in Madison Square Garden for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and 18,000 people are chanting, Landry Shamet. Like, there are moments in time in which you turn around and you're like, is this really happening?
I mean, it's showing appreciation for a job well done.
No, no, the crowd did a wonderful job. I'm not mocking them. I'm more mocking, like, sports doesn't make sense sometimes.
Well, it depends. I think in New York, the sport fan is smart enough to know who they should be chanting.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a high IQ sport fan.
They're right a high there. IQ sports fan. It's more the idea. Like, if I went to you guys a week ago and said, I'm going to make you some predictions for the series, like some wacky predictions. And I said, I got one for you. Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. You know, mid-third quarter, or early fourth quarter, I should say.
Yeah.
The crowd's going to chant Landry Shamet's name like he's The Rock.
We'd be telling you to get the hell out of
You'd
here.
You'd say, what's wrong with you? Oh, you got to pick the former net? What are you talking about? So it's more just a testament to sport that you just never know. And I think that's the hope that the Knicks fans should have today on this Friday, and that is hope. Like, we saw what this team is capable of. Is it going to be easy to win the next two games? No. But it starts with one. And I think the mistake that the Pacers made, I know I'd be thinking this if I'm in Indiana and I'm a Pacer fan, is they let them off the mat.
Yes.
So if they had an arrogance of, well, we've got game 6 in Indiana, that is a stupid arrogance to have.
Right.
Because when the Knicks play their best brand of basketball, when they communicate well on defense, when they defend at a high level, mm-hmm. when they cut down on these stupid low IQ plays, which they didn't fully do.
Right.
They're better than the Pacers.
Of course.
I think that they are. Well, so you can't let them back off the mat.
It's what we thought going into the series, and it's what we haven't seen because the Pacers have played well. Obviously, they're giving them their due. But the Knicks, when they play like this, are the better team. But doing it consistently has been their issue. Now, they have to they got to go to Indy for game 6 and then get back. If they get back, it's almost... I don't want to say it's guaranteed, but it's almost a guarantee the Knicks are winning.
No. Now you're going too far.
Nope, I'm not. I feel like the Knicks, if they win, Indy doesn't lose 2 games in a row.
Yes.
They haven't lost 2 games in a row since March.
And by the way, when they lost those 2 in a row in March, they lost 3 in a row.
Exactly.
Just saying.
And so, momentum in basketball is different than momentum in, say, football. Oh, you can't get first downs, and the other team just rolls you because you keep giving them field position and scoring opportunities. But it's in a game. Momentum in basketball is different, especially because of the series, the way they work in the postseason. It just stops. It stops and it restarts. The game starts, you travel, it restarts. But there's something about, I think, the Garden, and if the Knicks get back there, I don't know how deafening it's going to be, but it's going to be out of control.
But you know better than anybody, because you've said this throughout the playoffs with me, that of home court advantage.
But still.
Which is a good thing going into Saturday, Knicks fans. Maybe. It's a bad thing if we're sitting here on Monday. Not a bad thing because you were forced to game 7. I just don't think it matters as much.
Maybe it's because of what I saw on social media with the Knicks crowd. Like the high, like the all 22 of not just the court, but the crowd of Knicks fans last night.
It was
insane.
It was a wonderful crowd. It doesn't really make a difference anymore.
It doesn't, but it's just hard to combat that emotionally.
I don't think it impacts it very much at all, and that's not a knock on Knicks fans or Pacer fans. It's just the reality of the NBA world we live in. But this is hopefully, for Knicks fans, a debate we could have on Monday and Tuesday.
Yes.
Because that would mean there is a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. But I think what we've seen throughout this series and we've seen throughout the postseason is as loud as a crowd can get, I don't think it ultimately makes the difference. What makes the difference, at least in the Knicks' end, is defending.
Mm-hmm.
Defending at a high level. Having a high basketball IQ. Knowing your rotations. Defending hard. Like, they defended Tyrese Halliburton harder yesterday than they had throughout this series. Was that the only reason Halliburton went in with Shell? No, but it certainly contributed to it. And here's what we know. The Knicks' season isn't over yet. And it also means that they will play basketball tomorrow night in Indiana with a chance to force a winner-take-all seventh game. We'll get to your calls next. How are we feeling after that Game 5 victory? Thoughts on Game 5 as well at 888-808-1019. Knicks force a Game 6, keeping their season alive with a win last night against the Indiana Pacers. And Tom Thibodeau did a lot of good things, and he's made a lot of good adjustments. Here's my one critique, my one warning as they go to Game 6. He made the decision after the second game to change up his starting five, something you had called for days and days because the starting five had not been productive throughout the postseason. So he makes the change. Mitchell Robinson enters the starting five. Josh Hart goes to the bench. It doesn't matter. Tom Thibodeau still treats Josh Hart like his, you know, drug, and he'll play 36 minutes a night no matter what, even when he stinks like he did in Game 4. But that's neither here nor there. He still holds a torch for the original five, as I like to call it, the original starting five. He got away from it, obviously, to start Game 5, and they do a great job. The new starting five was a plus 10 in the first 7.5 minutes of the game. So, not bad. It's clearly working. He goes back to the original five for the first time last night with about 3 minutes to go and the team up by 14. And the Pacers immediately went on a 9-2 run.
Right.
Now, luckily for the Knicks, and major credit to Kat and specifically Mikal Bridges, who closed the half on a little 4-0 run, so we weren't staring at another terrible close to a quarter.
Right.
But the original five thing doesn't really work.
It doesn't, and it hasn't. Really, all postseason long.
So why do you go back to it?
Comfort. It's the stubbornness. We talk about how Tibbs changed things up, I think both offensively and defensively. Like Jalen Brunson was off the ball a little bit more, so he's not getting, you know, harassed the entire length of the court for the entire game. So he has some more energy when it comes out in the second half, et cetera, defensively as well. But I think he still feels comfortable with the guys that he knows are his starting five and have been all season long. And so when push comes to shove or when there's any seed of doubt, he's going to go to what he's comfortable with. I think it's just human nature.
And he went, in fairness, to the original five with 8 minutes to go, up by 12 in the fourth quarter of this game. And that possession began with a Jalen Brunson turnover. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my friend, I'm like, is he going to let the original five kill him?
Yeah.
Now, to their credit, they recovered. They ended up putting the game away. And so that sequence worked. But I don't trust that group. And I don't know why Tom Thibodeau continues to trust that group. So even though it didn't backfire, didn't kill him in Game 5, clearly getting away from it has mostly worked.
Yeah.
And also, Mitchell...
Why doesn't anybody ask Tibbs that?
Coach's decision.
I understand that, but can you give me a deeper, like, reasoning or rationale, Tibbs? Please.
And the other one I'm curious about is Mitchell Robinson, you know, along with Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet got all the chance, but Mitchell Robinson's impact early third quarter to start the second half was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this a lot from Mitch, where Mitch will just impact the game defensively. He'll impact the game on the offensive glass, but mostly he'll impact the game defensively, and he'll be everywhere.
Right.
And I thought at the beginning of the third quarter, when clearly the Pacers are still in the game, I mean, it's an 11-point game, like things can turn on a dime. They had a really good start with their new starting five to begin the third quarter. They were plus 9 in the first 5.5 minutes, and the reason they were plus 9 is because Mitch was all over the place.
Yes.
And then we didn't see him again after the 4-minute mark of the third quarter.
Well, it's funny. We talked about
that. Was it?
We talked about it in Game 4, how he became the starter and, you know, Josh was on the bench, but Josh ended up playing starter minutes and Mitch only got 20. The same thing today.
Well, you know how he
said, part of it was, I mean, he played 10 minutes in the first quarter. So most of it was in the first quarter.
Right.
I know he was gassed, but still, he's still impactful.
He's very impactful. It's not about taking him out in the third quarter. It's about the fact he never came back in.
Yeah.
We never saw him again.
Right.
And the way he handles Josh, which was bad in Game 4, but was fine in Game 5 because he played well, is, and I'm not even exaggerating, because again, I chart this because I'm a loser. Josh Hart enters the game, 4:23 to go in the first quarter, played the entire rest of the first half. Mm. When he entered the game in the second half at 6:24 to go, he also played the rest of the game. So Josh doesn't start, but then when he re-enters games, that's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
I think with him, because he's so resourceful, like he's going to get you rebounds. Or you have double digits in rebounds, a couple offensive as well. So he's going to be resourceful and give you that hustle play. And there's something, I think, in the old school mindset of Tom Thibodeau where hustle matters, right? The effort matters. And Josh is always going to give that. Always.
Josh Hart is Tom Thibodeau's toy. He loves him. And they're a
favorite toy.
And, like, it's not that Josh was bad last night. He was tremendous last night. It's more when he's not good, like in game four, he continues to play with his toy. You know what it reminds me of? I'll give you a cross sports comparison.
Go ahead.
Aaron Boone and Brett Gardner. And no matter what Brett Gardner did, he's in my lineup. Here he is. Now let's get to
so much so that the fan even became obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Hey, you think we can get Brett Gardner back?
Yes.
2 years ago, they were calling for Brett Gardner to come back.
888-808-1019. Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, Evan and Tiki?
All's good.
Good, good. I'm calling because I think I have a problem. And I call the problem the Mets and the Knicks beatdown that I've been getting so long in my life. That I couldn't even enjoy the game. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, it's insane.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Supply.
Well, I'm the same way, Alex, and that's why the best person to answer this question is Positive Tommy, because we share the Mets together, and I'll never forget our experience at Game 4 against the Phillies. I had a miserable time, and Tommy was over there like, yeah, we're gonna win, and I agree. I'm not a Knicks fan, but being in the building helps me kind of understand what you're going through.
Yep.
I would have been miserable last night, and I'm sure you were sitting there eating your popcorn, Tommy, all relaxed.
Not only was I relaxed, and as you know, Positive Tommy doesn't sweat. He doesn't have even pores to sweat. After the game in our little group chat, Sean's in it, two of our friends that are Knicks fans were like, oh, they're going to lose Saturday night. I'm like, no, they're not. They're winning this in seven. And one of my buddies, just like Alex, he goes, how long have you been a Knicks fan? Aren't you waiting for the other shoe to drop? And I literally responded with, same thing with the Mets, and this is why Positive Tommy exists. Nothing about the past has any impact on the future. Nothing. The Patriots stunk for years. They got Tom Brady. They had a dynasty. The Warriors were bad for years. They had a dynasty. On and on and on and on. It doesn't matter what the Knicks did in the 90s or 10 years ago or what the Mets did 20 years ago. You look at this team and this team only, and that's how you base your enthusiasm, optimism. And what did I say yesterday? Imagine being a season ticket holder and you sold your tickets last night. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And you missed that game. And you're now, what, going to go back on Monday? I mean, come on.
You missed the first chapter in the epic comeback, potentially.
Right.
It is tough, though. I agree with Alex on this. It's very tough to enjoy sporting events in the postseason. I'll be the first to tell you. I love sports. Mm-hmm. I love watching it. But when my team is involved, it's a miserable experience. So that's why, like, I totally understand Alex's call. He had a terrible time watching the Knick game last night. I would have felt the same way. I totally get it. Saturday is going to be the same thing. I'd be hiding under my desk watching Game 6 if I'm a Knicks fan.
But after the game, you can't enjoy it?
No, after the game, I'd be thrilled.
I don't know if you guys have seen La La Land, but the opening scene, it's another day of sun. We get another day in the sun. It's a hell of a lot worse than me sitting here today at the podium going, Lugie, do you want this guy? Do you want this guy? Do you really want to trade Cat? Why doesn't Mikel fight through screens? We have another day at the pool here. It's another day in Aruba. Our flight got canceled. Enjoy it.
It's a good way to look at it. I agree with you. It doesn't change the fact that during the course of the game, I'd be miserable, just like Alex was. But you're right. Today should just be a happy day. Like, you don't have to answer those questions because that's what it's going to be. As soon as the season's over, it's do you fire the coach? Mm-hmm. Do you trade for this guy? Do you do that? And you don't have to worry about that. And if you win Saturday, think about this for a second. If you win on Saturday, you're playing June basketball. How about that? Mm. June basketball.
When was the last time that happened?
I mean, Mike, probably 1999 if I had to guess. Let's go to Dante in East Brunswick. Hey, Dante.
Hey guys, how we doing? Ev, you said it earlier. It started with Jalen Brunson, and this guy, you know, for 3 years in the playoffs, he just shows up game in, game out. You know, and I know the other night he was taking a little bit of slack from the media. You would think, you know, he had some horrible game, and he had 31 points and 5 assists. And then Haliburton gets all this hype, and then he goes out there and he'll stink it up now and then. I just think that what Jalen Brunson has done, not just this series and this play, but just since he's got here in the playoffs. When you look like some of the records he has already in his 3 year span, it's just incredible. And I don't know if I was trying to think if there's ever been a free agent that in any sport that's so far exceeded what everyone thought when he first came, you know, when he was first signed.
Right.
But what he's actually become, you know, the guy truly is. Like, I feel lucky as a Knicks fan to have this guy on my team.
It's a great point. Like, we talk about greatest free agents in New York sports history, but mm-hmm. most free agents come with a lot of hype.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on them. Jalen Brunson came here, and I mock Tommy for it, but it's pretty accurate. Nice player, not a great player. Mm. That's what he was. He was a nice player, not a great player, and he's become a great player. Now, there's going to be a lot of Jalen Tyrese Haliburton comparisons. They shouldn't be made to begin with because they're uniquely different. They're very, very different players. And so to compare Tyrese Haliburton's horrific box score to Jalen's wouldn't be fair because Jalen Brunson would never have a game in which he took 7 shots. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
In fact, the fewest amount of shots he's ever taken in a Knick playoff game was 14.
Right.
And that was in game 6 against the Celtics when he didn't even have to play the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to not shoot. And that's because we've talked about multiple times, the Pacers have 2 or 3 guys that can take over a game and do some damage for you. Whereas with the Knicks, they rely a lot on Jalen Brunson. It's not solely on Jalen Brunson, but when it comes to critical moments, it's going to be Jalen Brunson's with the ball in his hand, and he's going to be directed to take those shots. The Pacers aren't the same. They're constructed just differently.
But I do think the fair rip on Tyrese Haliburton is you can't be a superstar in this league if you're going to have games like that.
Right, and take 8 shots.
But not only take 8 shots, be just not impactful on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, great point guards can impact the game on only taking 8 shots.
That's a good point.
I've seen John Stockton do it. I've seen Jason Kidd do it. Tyrese Haliburton ain't that. Mm. So I think the comparison to Jalen Brunson is unfair because they're very different. And also, Jalen Brunson's better. They're different players, but Jalen Brunson is better. And last night, and he has taken some heat throughout this postseason at times, last night he was the tone setter. He really did. He set the tone for everything last night. He gets a lot of credit for the fourth quarter stuff. Last night's first quarter was the fourth quarter
and
in a lot of ways.
And third.
And third.
Right. 15 points in the third, right?
Yes. Put the game away.
Right.
Because the Pacers had a decent chance to get back into this thing.
Who are, by the way, the best free agents in New York history?
In New York sport, without expectations?
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, like Reggie Jackson, came with pretty huge expectations.
CeCe came with high expectations.
CeCe
right?
came with huge expectations. Carlos Beltran came with huge expectations. Mm. I don't know. It's a great question.
Kerry Collins?
That's a great one. Because I had no expectations.
I don't know. He was like coming out of jail. Remember the last time people had seen him? And then we traded, or not traded for him, but we signed him.
Tiki, way to make something about the Giants, you know?
I'm just trying to think, like, honestly.
Curtis Martin, but he came with good expectations. But he was only in the league for a couple of years.
Right, LaDainian Tomlinson at the end of his career. But he was a Hall of Famer, so you can't really put him in there.
Luke Weaver?
Was he like, was he? I don't even know how they got him.
I'm pretty sure. It was probably a trade, but he had no expectations.
So no, I got a good one with no expectations.
Go ahead.
R.A. Dickey.
Without a doubt.
Good one.
The guy wasn't the Cy Young. I mean, you got to give him that.
Right. Yeah, you got a knuckleball pitcher? What?
Anthony Mason was signed as a free agent.
Yeah.
So I think if you're sticking with the Knicks, May certainly has to be up there. But, Victor Cruz was a non-drafted free agent.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Wayne Crabell was a non-drafted free
agent. That's non-drafted
free agent. Yeah, I wouldn't count.
Coming from someplace else. With low because Plexico had high expectations when he came here.
Well, most free agents do. Like when you sign a big free agent, they're a big free agent for a reason. Jalen Brunson wasn't a nothing like an R.A. Dickey. No offense to R.A. Dickey. Mm-mm. He came here as a valuable piece. I mean, they were giving him over $20 million a year, but he came here as, hey, that's a serviceable player. That's a good player. That's a good value player. And maybe in a bigger role with Tom Thibodeau, he'll expand. But I think becoming this kind of impactful player. That surprises everybody.
I agree.
Tiki, I think you gave me a good Cinco, by the way, for next week.
I'm telling you.
Work on that.
When you start thinking about it, it's like, who are the other ones without high expectation? Kerry Collins jumped to mind because people thought he was done.
Right.
They thought his career was over.
Allen Houston was signed as a free agent from Detroit, came over with some pretty good expectations. Wayne Gretzky was a free agent, but I think he had some pretty high expectations.
You can't have been walking in or skating, in this case, into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Even if you're old.
Yeah.
And coming.
I think no matter how you cut it, when the story of Jalen Brunson's Knicks career is over, whether it's expectations or no expectations, he is going to go down as one of the greatest free agent signings in the history of New York sports. However you cut it.
Right.
However you want to slice it or dice it, the impact he's had and the impact he continues to have, because the story is obviously not over yet. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Hey, Andrew.
Fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
What's up?
The sun is out. It's Friday, and the Knicks are alive, baby. So we are doing quite well.
Sure.
Quickly, before my Knicks point, Tiki, are we going to see you at Jones Beach in a couple weeks with Dave Matthews?
Well, the problem is Jones Beach is such a hike for me.
It is
a hike. And he's coming to PNC on Tuesday? So I'm more likely to be at PNC than I'm Jones Beach.
Fair enough. I know you're not going to miss a show. Quickly, with the Knicks, look, Ev, I couldn't agree with you more. They should not have let them off the mat last night. And I told my friends, I said, listen, if they go to Indiana and they win that game, they are going to win this series. And so now with that said, if they go back to the Garden and they win this series, is being down 3-1 and winning, does that constitute as a choke job? And the second part, if it is a choke job, who's throwing up the choke signal just like Tyrese did?
Couple things.
I mean, the whole crowd will.
The crowd will take care of it.
What player would?
I think that, first of all, it doesn't matter.
I think it's easy to know who would do it.
Jalen Brunson?
No.
They were in a WWE ring together a year ago.
It wouldn't be Jalen Brunson. You know who it
Josh
would
Hart.
Be. It'd be Josh
It'd
Hart.
It'd be Josh Hart.
And 100% would be Josh
and
Hart.
And I do believe that someone would need to do it. Like, that would be the ultimate troll back, especially blowing a 3-1 series lead.
And it's an actuality.
Yeah, right.
Like, you should. It's 90, whatever it is, the percentages of, 13 out of however many it's been have come back from 3-1. You would be the 14th? That is a choke job.
The thing about chokes, though, is it's more what we do when our teams lose more than accusing it of another team.
Yeah.
Because we care about our teams winning. So when we win, it's an amazing comeback. It's fantastic. So I don't even think the choke argument is about us. It's more about them. And then here's the other element to it. I'm going to bring up a random 3-1 comeback that has no relevance, but you'll understand why I'm saying it. In 2007, the Boston Red Sox came back from 3-1 down against the Cleveland Indians. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox destroyed them in 5, 6, and 7. They were all blowouts to come back.
Right.
And I remember being like, I don't even know how to react. Is this a choke? They just kicked their ass 3 games in a row. Right. So if the Knicks kicked the Pacers' ass 3 games in a row, like, what is it? Did they choke it away, or did the Knicks just finally play to their top potential?
Or were they just kind of choking it away early?
Maybe.
Like the early choke as opposed to the Pacers choking at the end.
Just to give you factual reference, I said earlier that if the Knicks win on Saturday, they would play a game in June for the first time in a long time. The last time they played a game in June, this may be a bad omen, I apologize, but it's just the facts. The last time they played a game in June was June 2nd, 2000. And that was game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Pacers closed out the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. So that is the last time the Knicks played a game in June.
History is always repeating itself. By the way, Andrew mentioned Dave Matthews in about 10 minutes. We'll be giving away tickets to those Dave Matthews concerts.
Look at that. We got a lot of tickets we're giving away today. Dave Matthews, and at some point throughout this show.
All thanks to our friends at Live Nation, by the way.
Yeah, they're wonderful people. At some point later in the show, you will hear a cue to call, and you'll have a chance to win Post Malone Jelly Roll tickets when they're performing at Citi Field. Let us say good afternoon to JR in Somerville. What's up, man?
What's happening, JR?
Hey, what's going on? First, I got to start off with an apology to Evan because I yelled at him yesterday. Mm. And one of my buddies heard me, Craig. And he, you know, he's got his kids in the car. Anyway, I don't want to make that the example.
We are okay. We have a relationship, you and I, where you treat me like crap, and I treat you sort of like crap, but a little bit, and it's okay. So I never take it personal. We're good.
And he was in the building, JR. Yeah. He was in the building.
I got you.
Self-proclaimed good luck charm.
I got you a win last night. You're welcome.
Well, yeah, you should be on the road to Indiana right now. But outside of that, yesterday, Tiki asked me if Mikal Bridges was going to make that adjustment to be a facilitator,
yeah,
and we got it, okay? Right. So he did. Hey, listen,
I know.
He led the team in assists. He usually gets 45 passes a game. He upped it to 60 passes last night, and the Knicks had 20 more passes as a team.
Wow.
So that was something that was good to see. It looked like he was trying to really struggle spraying the ball out, but he did it. So that's good. So while we talk about the defensive efficient intensity, it's something where I think that our offensive floor balance and just no live ball turnovers really led to us being comfortable on defense. So that's the first thing. The second thing is we're not going to have a show, your show tomorrow. So we got to do a little battering your back for tips, okay? So the transition offense has been horrible. Okay, Indiana's the best team in transition in the playoffs. The Knicks are second to last.
Right.
And that's killing us. So here's the thing. They got to bring it out when they have one-on-fours. OG Anunoby went one-on-four and, he flopped into and tried to get a foul call. Brunson's been atrocious in transition. But Tibbs has got to get it into these guys' heads that if there's no numbers, you got to pull the ball out. You know, similar to what they do in grade school. Make it easy for these guys, yeah. Okay? And then the other thing is...
Well, especially JR, because they're not getting a lot of these calls at the rim. They're just not calling them. They're not calling the fouls.
And look at Deuce McBride. He got called for... they went to the monitor for a flagrant foul. That's a flagrant foul in the regular season. They didn't call it last night.
Yeah.
So the NBA is obviously is calling a different game, okay? So they got to understand that. None of the chirping. I always say limbo rate. We got to make sure that it's a master class. Tibbs has got to get into the head, and we got to get this win tomorrow. Knicks in 7. Let's go.
There you go. There's some optimism right there. Now, he talked about the officials. I gave Sean an assignment yesterday because Sean made a claim that I disagreed with. I disagreed with passionately, which is that the Knicks will get the whistles because the league wants a 6th and 7th game and probably wants the Knicks in the NBA Finals. That's a very common conspiracy belief. Bill Simmons even said that the other day, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Knicks are going to get all the calls. I keep thinking of Sacramento, L.A. from 2002. They're going to get all the calls. And that bothers me because I think it's crap. I just don't think it's true. I think that officials are incompetent. I think that officials are inconsistent. I won't defend them. But I don't believe there's an ulterior motive. And I think it's just lazy stuff that we hear sometimes. So I put Sean in the challenge. I said, I want you to chart all the calls that you think benefits the Knicks. cite your work. So when we come back, we'll see if he actually did any work. Because I did it too. I was sitting there up on my Chase Bridge seats, and I started shotting them down, saying, all right, who's getting the benefit of the whistles? We'll get the results of that, plus your more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.